get started. Are we all alone? 'Cause I'm about to hit.
Long spears, twice as long as a man.
That long? Some men are longer than others.
Your mother been telling you stories about me again, eh?
Sports Outside the Mainstream with Owen Grohman, featuring Eamon Sweeney, Brian Peacock, and Antonio Kruger. Now, here's Owen Grohman.
There ain't nothing wrong with smoking weed. Weed is from the earth. God put this here for me and you. Take advantage, man. Take advantage.
I'm in love with marriage and she's my main thing.
Sports Outside the Mainstream on 420. We're really not that kind of show. You guys probably didn't expect that. It's not really like a big weed program. I thought it was appropriate, though, to on 420 start with a little bit of Rick James and a little bit of what movie was that even from?
Friday?
That was Friday. That was Chris Tucker.
How do you get fired on your day off?
I know what it was. I just spaced out on what I had just played.
Oh, I get it, because it's 420 and
exactly,
you just spaced.
Exactly.
And you guys were eating a copious amounts of chips earlier. I wonder what that's all about, too.
Anyway, Sports Outside the Mainstream. Antonio Kruger, Eamon Sweeney joining myself, Owen Grohman. And on 420, we had some Reefer Made the News this week. But before we go into that,
let's just bang into the desk and do bad radio for the next 2 hours.
This is turning into Dada Radio in here. Anyway, Mikey Told You So and KSFS present the first party of the semester, Thursday, April 26th, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. at the Element Lounge on 1028 Geary Street between Polk and Van Ness. Antonio will MapQuest it for you and give you all the directions. Actually, Antonio doesn't need MapQuest. He's a San Francisco guy.
That's right.
21 and over only at this this party at the Element Lounge. It's free with your San Francisco State ID, and there are $1 beers for those who join Mikey's party. And Ammon's going to add something. What you got there?
I think it's also, Mikey Told You So, and it's also Wild 94.9 is also doing it. We got a flyer yesterday from Mikey, who you just see all around the city. I think I saw him like two random nights in the city as well, so he's all around.
He's a party kind of guy, right? Yep. You're talking about you being party boy. That's Mikey.
Hey now. That's what I'm talking about.
Anyway, dollar beers, I mean, you can't beat that. So that's what's going on with that. And who's that? Mysterious is playing? Is that right?
Sure. Mysterious at the Element Lounge, and it's the at symbol instead of at to save literally a word.
Here's how into the city scene we are. We're not really sure if that means that like it's going to be a confusing time at the Element Lounge, like Mysterious at the Element, or if that's an artist. I have to assume that's an artist.
We'll have to Urban Dictionary Mysterious
it
and see what comes
out.
It just
could be the theme for the night. You know, you never know.
Dress mysteriously.
That could be one.
Anyway, because it is 420, I mean, the NBA, I had almost a Thomas Bookwalter-esque crisis on the way to the show today. I just, what do I do? What do we start with? There's so much stuff going on. I got my Red Sox gear on for the big series this weekend.
Yes, you do.
We got NBA action's going to take us, literally could take us probably 4 hours to talk about the NBA. We're going to have to do some controlling of ourselves, namely you.
Yes.
Can I help it that my team is great?
I don't know about great, bro. You're going to win a... We'll get there. Anyway.
They're good.
Here's what's bothering me this week. Yeah, to quote Peter Griffin, here's what really grinds my gears. It's a horrible Peter Griffin. You guys get what I'm talking about, though. You know, yeah.
Can't do
there
the
you
laugh.
Go. Yeah. Awful. Stop doing that.
All right.
Anyway, you guys hear about the reefer in the news, the NFL draft, a couple of stud prospects, Calvin Johnson, Gaines Adams, and Amobi Okoye. Is that the guy's name?
Yeah, that is correct.
That's the 19-year-old, right?
He's the From young kind of dark horse stud, yeah.
Not even legal to drink and admitting to herbs.
Yeah, but here's what bothers me about it is not that the guys did it. It's that it comes out like it's stupid. Like, why do we need to hear this? Why is this any of our business? These NFL guys point blank ask them, be honest, is there anything else we should know? Or, you know, I don't know the words they used in the interview. And the guy said, okay, true, yeah. We grew up in the inner city. We grew up and weed was around. Yeah, we tried weed a couple times. Each of them said pretty much similar things. None of them was like, I'm best friends with Ricky Williams and I'm a complete pothead. It's that they smoked a little bit of herbs.
Yeah. It's,
the weed is from the earth.
That's correct. But
I don't do drugs.
I heard from we just did our podcast on the hate, you know. What I heard from Calvin Johnson was, not specifically from Calvin Johnson, but from whatever question they asked of him. They said, have you ever smoked? And he said, yes, I tried it once, sophomore year. Coaches found out. You know, they reprimanded me, and that was it. They asked Gaines Adams same question. He said he tried it once, his junior year. Same thing, same reaction. And he says he hasn't done it since. They asked Amobi about it, and he says they asked him if he did it or not. He said yes. There was no follow-up questions. I think a day later, he talks to his agent, and his agent says, yeah, that was a one-time deal as well. But my whole conspiracy theory is I think the teams 15 on up got this information, released it to the press, hopefully to scare away the top 10 teams from taking a player. Because we've seen it before with other players that it's happened before, namely players like Randy Moss and Warren Sapp, either weekend of or draft day rumors about a player and their stock dropping. So I think, as you know, it's a conspiracy theory, but I think there is actually something to that.
Well, number one, if you want to know about a player's character, what kind of family he comes from, I don't care what the coach said when he found out. What did mom say? Because the whole thing, coach found out and I fixed my okay, whatever. What did mom say when she found out you were doing some stuff? That tells you that sort of the family foundation of an individual. But you know, thank goodness they were from the inner city. And all, otherwise, instead of marijuana, they'd have had all kind of much heavier drugs if they were from the suburbs.
Yeah, good point. But I just – the issue with me is not that these guys smoked or that they admitted it. They did the right thing. It'd be, in my opinion, a much greater problem if they straight up lied to guys who asked them to tell the honest truth.
Let's reward the honesty.
I'm being serious. I mean, come on. It's weed, you know? It's like the government says it's illegal, but when has weed ever hurt anybody? Okay, it's probably hurt a couple
probably
people.
Probably
hurt
a couple people.
But nonetheless, my point is simply, why is this our business? Why does this have to come out? And why does it have to go? Just, it's an example of the mainstream just taking things and making them issues that they just don't need to be. And it really grinds my gears when this kind of stuff happens.
My gears.
And it happened again this morning, and I don't want to go too far off sports because we've got so much to talk about. But on the Today Show this morning, Matt Lauer gets his serious Matt Lauer face and starts talking about this phone call, and then they play the phone call Alec Baldwin plays to his daughter, and it was kind of scary, and Alec Baldwin said, I'm tired of you not listening to me, and probably used a couple of fringe cuss words, and it's just, why is this our business? What is this? I mean, these guys were, this was an NFL, a future NFL player being interviewed by a personnel director. What's the honest truth? Have you ever smoked weed? Yes, I smoked weed 2 or 3 times, and ooh, shiver me timbers, man. That doesn't make any sense, but you know what I mean?
But it was funny to watch you act that out.
It was.
I've been sniffing this marker.
It's good radio.
It's actually part of the, But no, anyway, that's what grinds my gears.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, the whole thing about the Baldwin thing is, I mean, which parent has not yelled at their 11-year-old daughter or son and got enraged at one point?
That one really grinds my gears even harder, so to speak, than the drugs thing. Because why is that a phone call on his answering machine to his daughter? Why is that our business?
Context. If you're not in a relationship, if you're not in the relationship that's being analyzed, you don't know how it functions. So you don't know how the family died. So long as no one's being, you know, abused, molested, none of our business. In terms of football players, Calvin Johnson is still going in the top 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Tampa
Bay doesn't let him go at 4, yeah.
Exactly. He's going to make a lot of money and in all likelihood going to be a great player, certainly has the potential. He's going to be just fine. The 19-year-old from Louisville, maybe a little bit different because he's a young guy. He's sort of a prospect. And so I think certain teams are already questioning whether or not he's deserving of a top 10, top 15 slot and salary. Something like this could allow a team to justify not taking him even though they already weren't.
You take drugs, Danny?
Every day.
Good. So what's the problem?
And then the problem was with another defensive tackle from Northwestern, Luis Castillo, who eventually got drafted by the Chargers. He took steroids, I think, for
steroids. That's something.
For the combine.
I want to know
steroids. I'm saying drugs. They probably put it under a blanket thing because it is, you know, it is under the NFL substance policy. So I mean, to me, it's not a huge deal. It's not even really a big deal. But it goes to kind of a character issue. You probably wouldn't see Jamarcus Russell doing this. You probably wouldn't see Brady Quinn doing this. NFL prospect quarterbacks, or at least they wouldn't admit to it.
You need your quarterback to think clearly, though.
You don't want your quarterback. maybe they're trying to slow it down, though, or in some cases, or they just want to really be paranoid or something. But yeah, it's not really a big issue. You're right. The only person it may affect would be Amobi from Louisville, because I mean everybody else. Calvin Johnson's not slipping. Gaines Adams should be the first defensive end taken. So this is really going to affect much. It was just weird that the story kind of broke. A couple days ago, and now, of course, 420. So
I like how you are Mr. CO Inspiracy. It takes the burden off of me from having to be the one to present such evidence.
Yeah, I have no problem being the black sheep, you know, the devil's advocate. I have no problem doing that, so I'm just good to be here, everybody.
Anyway, wow. We do have an email. We'll get to it in a little bit. It's a longtime listener, first time caller, is what this genius says. Anyway, we'll get to this guy.
Sounds like a real winner.
NBA. Antonio, I don't know how you held it together that whole time. I was surprised that you didn't just jump in and say, "Who cares? NBA playoffs. Here we go."
Well, first, I hope he's out there listening. Peacock, pop your collar, baby. You called the Warriors making the playoffs, and the only one in our set to do so, and he's right. Not only are the Warriors in, but they finished above 500, meaning that everyone in the Western Conference is an above 500 playoff team, which was a concern a few weeks ago. And give credit to the Dubs, man. They first time, 13 years, Nelly brings them back, and they're playing a team that they believe they can beat, for whatever that's worth. It's about to be very entertaining in the Bay Area for the next week or two.
I would say this, though. Being a true Warrior fan, if you are a true Warrior fan, you did not
are
pick
you?
Oh, you have to be – you did not pick them to make the playoffs, because you as a Warrior fan would be like, no, there's no way it's going to happen. You know,
well,
I'm not going to get it spoiled, though.
But you might be a true Warrior fan, but a young one. Maybe a true older Warrior fan would remember the days of Rick Barry before he saw Dr. Rosanelli and would remember the days of Run TMC when
yeah.
Nelly was here last.
Yeah, I remember that, but it's been 13 years since then. I mean, how long can we wait as fans for this? I mean, this is the first year I think their attendance has dropped. I think – they were 10th in the league in attendance. Now they're 14th, and they finally make the playoffs. Warrior fans were loyal. They were sitting there the whole time. But as loyal as you can be, you have to say at one point, you know, either make the playoffs or we're going to jump ship. But they finally made it once attendance started dropping, and they're finally in it. But I have no problem making my prediction earlier about not making it.
Did their attendance drop, or did other people's just rise above
it? Well, NBA's attendance overall has risen, but the Warriors did drop.
Well, I think it's a compliment to Northern California fans, because the Kings, prior to Adelman and Weber being up there, went a decade without being in the playoffs. It consistently had a sold-out great home crowd and arena. But in terms of the Warriors, very Nelly. I mean, he got his team in the playoffs with a late surge, very much the way during his first era here with the Warriors, with small ball, the days of Run TMC, but also Šarūnas Marcelonis.
Mm.
You know, back in the days when Alton Lister was the center.
There you go.
Managed to get his guys in the playoffs.
That's hitting the target demo, by the way.
There you go. They pulled off some upsets back then, beating Stockton and Malone's Jazz 1 year, beating my Spurs 1 year as a lower seed. Nelson has done this with the Mavs as a lower seed. He is very good at winning first-round series. Now, granted, those are best of five, but if I'm the Mavericks, I'm aware, because – this is his former team. It's his protege coaching it. If anyone other than Avery Johnson knows Dirk's strengths and weaknesses, it would be Don Nelson. And his guys are confident playing the Mavericks, not just this year with Nelly, but even under Mike Montgomery. And certainly Nelson's a step up from that. And now you've got Baron Davis always plays well against the Mavericks, as does Richardson, does Petrus.
As does Petrus. I was going to mention that. Being the loser fantasy guy I am, I joined the playoff fantasy hoops, and I looked at the stats, and Petrus has averaged 20 points each and every game. That's a matchup problem for both teams. He can guard a Josh Howard, but they don't really have anybody to guard a player like him, or they can put Howard on Richardson or something like that, but they don't really have an answer for Petrus right now.
You didn't cancel a date to do your fantasy.
No, of course not. No, okay. Of course
it was probably during spring break. It was in between episodes of American Gladiator on the ESPN Classic.
There you go.
We need to get that theme song in here, by the way. I'll work on that.
Well, one of the things I'm looking forward to is that even if the Warriors do not win this series, which they're not favored to do, is making them extend the Mavericks. Last year, the Mavs in the first round swept Memphis. Only one of the four games was legitimately close. I expect this to be a six, hopefully seven-game series for the Warriors to not only run them around, for their big guards, Petrus, Richardson, and even Jackson when he plays guard, and Davis, to really beat up on physically Harris and Terry. And as a result, tire the Mavs out a little bit. And then in that second round, whether they play Utah or Houston, they're going to play another physical team. And hopefully by the conference finals, they'll be a lot more physically whipped than they were last year.
Yeah, I don't think it's a local bias to say that Dallas Golden State is the most intriguing matchup on there. I mean, I've noticed that several quote-unquote experts have picked Denver-San Antonio, which is okay. You could do that to be the most intriguing. But really, this Golden State-Dallas, I mean, you're talking about a team that's won six of the last seven, and this is the underdog, right? Or is it five of the last six?
Five of the last
six. I've heard varying reports, right? Five of six, Warriors over Mavericks. I mean, hey, That's pretty interesting when you're talking about the Mavericks as the favorite to win the whole thing. They won all the games. If there is one favorite team to win the entire thing, it's got to be Dallas. The only other San Antonio or Phoenix are the only other things you'd mention. And I think it's Dallas this year is the overall favorite. And the Warriors own them. So, I mean, I don't know how this can't be interesting. At least even if it ends up Mavericks sweep, every single game is going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, and the prognosticators at this time of year very much get into trying to overhype a lower seed. You hear about how hot a team is. I'm expecting, and you can watch for this on Sunday when the Spurs play the Nuggets.
Here we go. This San Antonio Spurs Hour with Antonio Krueger brought to you by.
I'll just make a quick mention.
Currently unsponsored.
You watch. If there's a point in the second half where Denver has the lead, one of the announcers will say, you know, Denver won their last game here and scored 100 points, so the Spurs have got to be worried. What they won't tell you is that one game was at the end of the season when Duncan, Ginobili, and Parker didn't play. And it's one of those things of trying to hype you and get your attention. The Warriors beating the Mavericks is legitimate. It's this year, it's last year, and the year before. And the amazing thing is they'd lost 20 in a row to the Mavs before the streak started. So the Nelson Cuban factor, the Nelson Avery Johnson factor, I love it. And what the Warriors do by going small, they force the Mavs to take their center out, which the Mavs really want to have in their
defense. The Warriors center, former center.
The Warriors from former center?
Eric Dampier.
Oh, I was thinking more of Jopp, but yes.
Oh.
Jopp
can't jump.
Who looks like Keenan Ivory Wayne. Did you ever notice that? The Dampier looked just like Keenan Ivory Wayne.
Oh, Dampier. Yeah, I do see that. Absolutely. Very true. Before we get to our playoffs, we all are, as we are experts, I mean, you know, it's proven. It's science. We do have our predictions, I think, at least I do, and Eamon does, I know, on playoffs and
I did this
awards.
Wednesday night.
Okay, I believe you. We have some regular season cleanup to do before we we'll
take. I would say one last addendum to that is quickly for the odds makers. 10-point advantage for the Mavericks. Not as big as what do they got? The 12. They have a 12-point for Cleveland. They're gonna 12 points, and then Phoenix has 10. But I also would say first round upsets. New York defeated Miami 3-2 in 1999, and Denver defeated Seattle in 1994. All five game series. This is a 7-1. There's a big difference there. But that was just addendum to all that stuff right there.
Right. We'll come back to all that kind of action. Plenty of playoffs talk. But I want to clean up the regular season a little bit. One of the weaknesses we have as being being once a week show. A once-a-week program is that we can't talk about this stuff. But, Eamon, I was thinking of you, which made me think of, Antonio as well. But earlier this week, probably a game I don't know if you could watch it here, but Spurs-Grizzlies, Pau Gasol hits a quarter court. Not half court, not three-quarter court. A little quarter court shot, maybe the end of the first or second quarter. He starts jumping around like a moron and high-fiving, pats on the back. So I was thinking of you, Eamon, that violates your idea of when you're losing, you can't do that. They won. They were winning or they won the game, but they're the Grizzlies. They got the worst record in the league.
You can't do that. Well, the whole thing we were talking about was the NFL rule changes. How about?
I mean, he had a broad smile.
Yeah.
He was really into it.
Like hitting a jumper over Matt Bonner, man.
Oh, I know. Man. I mean, it's the greatest achievements in life, but it's we're talking about the NFL rule changes, and when you get up and spike the ball or you point first down and you're down, you're away down by 30. I mean,
or you're like a 2-12 team.
Do the math, read the crowd, read the stadium, and look around and say, wait a minute, we're the Grizzlies, we're really fighting tooth and claw with the Celtics to see who gets the most ping pong balls, which is the most exciting thing ever. But I mean, learn where you're at. I mean, you've even probably played bigger games in Spain, for Christ's sake. So get it together over there.
I didn't rush home to watch that game since none of the Spurs' main players were playing. I think Pop started Bruce Bowen just to keep his streak going of games, consecutive games started. But other than that, there was no point to watch, and every Spurs backup player got a lot of playing time. So if that makes Gasol happy, I guess that's what he'll be thinking about while he's sitting on the couch.
I mean, you should high-five when you do something well. It'd be poor sportsmanship not to enjoy the moment, because every moment you spend on the court could be your last. That's a little extreme, but
seize the moment.
No, that
one shining moment.
One shining moment for Pau Gasol. But my point is simply that he got way into it. I mean, we're talking broad smiles, high five, and Chucky Atkins. And I don't know if Atkins is on the Grizzlies. Who's on the Grizzlies?
Yeah,
is Damon
right.
Stoudemire on the Grizzlies?
I believe Achilles, but injured.
Torn his Achilles.
What a surprise.
Maybe Bobby Jackson.
Which, quick side note, that's the guard we couldn't think of 2 weeks ago. The Minnesota guard. In the Final Four in 97,
Bobby Jackson played for the Golden Gophers.
Yes.
Wow.
That is the guy who I could not think of.
Bobby Jack, I mean, he was a cool guy for the Kings for
There was a character on the island of Dr. Moreau or something, and Bobby Jackson kind of looked like him. I'll just leave it at that.
I'm embarrassed.
Seemed like more of a
Barkley
reference.
I could not think of. That was the player that helped get the Gophers to the Final Four.
That's a pretty decent ball player right there.
Now, back to what was the big story, though, of the week? Come on.
Just go. Just run with it, man.
No. Give me an intro. Just what was the big story of the week in the NBA?
We have some comments. We'll probably get to them. David Stern talking about it. But, yeah, Joey Crawford a little bit. But I know what side you're going to take. And be prepared to, duel it out over here, because I always take the other side to make it more interesting. Sometimes I believe it. In this case, I do believe it. Sometimes I don't believe it. I just do it to be controversial or whatever.
You idle it difficult.
Ready for a war?
You guys ready for a little battle over there? Because I know Ant's going to be in it, and Eamon, I'm happy you're willing to jump in with Ant on this one. Tim Duncan v. Joey Crawford turns into Antonio Kruger v. Eamon Sweeney right now.
Hey, I got a bag of nickels at home. I was ready to whoop upside Joey Crawford's head. I can share it with you.
Oh, you want? I'll hit you with a bag of oranges. They don't leave bruises, so you never know.
Well, I'll say my piece right now is very simple, and I said it to Eamon when we saw each other earlier this week here on campus, was that Joey Crawford, history of being a jackass and making a fool of himself and getting camera time one way or another. Tim Duncan, history of being a soft-spoken, quiet performer of basketball and nothing else. And something like this happens where they both get into it and they're both in positions that they're Tim Duncan was in a position he's not familiar with, being in the spotlight for anything other than winning basketball games. I have a pretty good sense and a pretty good feeling that the guy who has a history of doing things like this is probably at fault. I think that's a pretty standard, pretty easy way to analyze something like that. And it's, you see it in all sports, it's true. When a guy who doesn't say much gets up, when he's trying to get into third base or something, and he gets up and goes, whoa, come on, I was safe there. We've seen this example before, The soft-spoken performers of the game, the guys who aren't out there trying to get spotlight and mess around and get their name in the news and all that kind of stuff, when they do get upset about something, there's usually a pretty good reason.
I would agree, and let's start with what we can all agree on. If you work hard and you play hard, inevitably you feel like most calls should go your way. Officials are human. Players are human. Guys make mistakes. With that being said, as you said, if you have a history of just being a guy that goes about his business, when you complain, people pay more attention. When you're a guy that's known for whining about everything, officials tend to not give you the benefit of the doubt, and they tend to have a short fuse with you. Fair official, not the Crawfords, not your favorite Violet Palmer and all those individuals. So
Violet Palmer, get in the kitchen, make me a sandwich.
God, no more impressions quack, for you, quack. By the way. No more impressions.
I mean, Joey Crawford, part of me has always liked him because he was across the board consistent.
Was that not pretty good, though? I'm sorry.
That was awful.
That didn't sound like Cedric Maxwell or Vernon Maxwell?
You haven't been drinking, so you can't sound.
Who is telling you this? Because they're not helping you. They're not helping you by telling you that was good.
I've never tried it before. Well, I didn't think it was that far off.
It's not good. Let's stick with Brian Peacock for his impressions of pterodactyls. That will be the only impression on this show. Man law.
All right.
Go ahead.
So, Sunday, Joey Crawford did step over the line, in my opinion. And he does apparently have a very recent history with Duncan, which about a month ago, Spurs lost a game at Indiana by 1 point, which happened to be the 1 point difference of a technical being called on Duncan. I have no idea why that tee was called or whether each side felt it was deserved. That's where Duncan feels like it started. I think you can go back to last year's postseason where in game 3 in Dallas, Tim Duncan was fouled out on a very questionable foul call towards the end of the game where Nowitzki went down the lane and stepped into Duncan, and Nowitzki got free throws. Duncan got his fifth and sixth foul within a couple of minutes thanks to the hands of Joey Crawford, who had a very poor, poor officiating second half in that game, helping Dallas to come back and end up winning by a point, turn the whole series. I think from the Spurs' perspective, that's where their bias against him began.
It could have began. I don't know when it actually began. I don't know the timeline, the Spurs' timeline with Joey Crawford as well as you do. The one thing I will say is hearing from other writers who do not, appear on TV, writers for like the USA Today, they're saying Duncan is one of the biggest complainers out there. He's not demonstrative. We know that from his actions. He's the most, he's the player who will sit there pretty sedate about, he'll never get really fired up, but they say he complains a lot. He lobbies for himself a lot. So I see how this could just get on, you know, somebody's nerves over and over. And everybody perceives Tim Duncan to be the golden boy of the league, which he is, comparatively speaking, to other players. I think he gets that rap because he is that guy who's always, you know, he's smiling. He's never yelling at anybody. He always play that, you know, politically correct card or whatever, won't say anything. You rarely read a quote from Duncan where you say, well, he really makes you think. He really stepped out of line right there. I think right now Crawford has whatever history he has with him. I really do not know the extent of which it is. But I think Crawford is one of the guys that just says, I've had enough of Duncan. Everybody, you know, sees this guy, but we know him behind closed doors. Maybe he argues with them. Maybe he goes into their locker room after and says, what was all that about? And we don't see it in the papers. I think Crawford overreacted, yes. I think, Duncan, you should never show up an official by sitting there and laughing with your teammates. And well, not really staring at the official, but, you know, you're sitting there mocking him. And in that, I think David Stern overreacted as well. I think everybody basically was out of line in the situation. And right now, one of the best refs that, you know, that the NBA has probably ever had, probably top 10, is now probably done for his career.
Now, see, that bothers me. I keep hearing people say he's such a great ref. I think that speaks poorly of officiating in basketball when Joey Crawford is one of your top three officials. That tells me that the rest of the people must be real, real poor. Because
ask Mark Cuban.
On one hand, Crawford is one of the few guys that is willing to not allow the crowd to influence him, which is a good thing. On the other hand, Crawford does take these personal moments to make himself bigger than the game and decide, I'm going to establish control here with everyone. And he obviously showed on Sunday he can't remove the personal from the professional. And if you had an athlete such as Rasheed Wallace, who's known for always abusing officials and getting in their face and hating certain guys, what you would say is, get over it. You're a grown man. Go out there and play the game. Well, same thing for Crawford and the officials. You're a grown man. Get over it. Every game is a clean slate. You cannot take some prior game with a guy and say, I'm tired of you. I still remember your past argument, and I'm going to punish you tonight or punish your team by calling fouls. I think all of us as fans, what you want from any official, particularly basketball and football, you just want consistency. You want consistency on both sides. You want consistency all game, and you want an official who doesn't call something that they didn't see, be it a foul, be it pass interference, whatever the case. No assuming. You either saw it or you missed it. You're human. No problem. Crawford made himself bigger than the game. His feeling was that Duncan was mocking him. Well, how do you know? The entire bench was laughing, so why did Duncan get kicked out?
Well, it's an odd time to make a joke about anything else but what just happened, though.
Well, but why not give every guy on the Spurs bench a tee? Because they were all laughing.
I'm sure he probably wanted to.
And so there you go. What makes Duncan
Joey
special?
Crawford does have boundaries.
He does.
Yeah, apparently. So, and then to say to Tim Duncan, do you want to fight? Do you want to fight? That to me sounds personal. Because if Duncan had said that to him, you would get an instant tee, perhaps an instant ejection for challenging an official to a fight. Now, Duncan is known for being a complainer. Yeah, and I think what he's going through is something Shaquille goes through. There are very few dominant post players. And these guys get beat up on the post. That has not been cleared up. In recent years, the NBA has taken away a lot of the hand checking. You know, for the guards, it's made the outside guys have to clean up their game, which has increased the flow of offense. Big guys get hit all the time. And I think what you end up with a guy like Duncan is, why am I getting, you know, beat up in the post? And then on defense, you call a foul on me for something that's not even as much as I've gotten. And that's where players, especially superstars, get frustrated with what they perceive as inconsistency. And I think you get that from all stars. I think every star believes he deserves, every time he gets contact when he's shooting the ball, he should get a call from the official.
Well, I think consistency is really tough in the NBA because it's not the same. It's not, you know, in the NHL, you got a net, you got sticks, you got a goal, goals in. No, you know, you can call penalties. MLB, there's a strike zone. In the NBA, there's different styles of basketball being played. I mean, it's a new game every night. You could get Pistons and Heat, which is like a matchup, and you'll have, you know, two strong defensive teams, guys battling the post. And the next game you're officiating, you could have, you know, you could have Suns and Suns and Suns and Bucks. I mean, it could be anything.
Well, so in the NHL, you don't get certain teams that like to plod and be physical, and some teams like to skate around more free.
I'm saying, well, with new rule changes, it's more free, but I don't think there's that many. I think there's a huge, huge discrepancy in football and in basketball on what you're going to get on a nightly basis, what you may see differently. Hockey, I probably don't know enough. I know about teams that, you know, like to play rough and tumble. The other guys like get out in the open. But I think it's tough to officiate and be consistent. And I know Crawford has been reprimanded. We have a cut from like a PTI where he talks about he's had to reprimand Crawford before about his relationship with Duncan, and he hasn't listened.
Well, and the 2003 is where this started, and obviously I remember that series very well. Spurs versus Mavs, Western Conference Finals. Game one, the Mavs came from behind, won by, I think, 2 points, 3 points, in a game where they shot something like 40, 50 free throws. There was this feeling that way too many fouls were called. You know, fans were bored with watching each team shoot a bunch, and the Spurs seemed to be punished by the officials for playing defense, whereas the Mavs weren't. Game two, Crawford comes out with this sort of gunslinger attitude of, there will be no complaining tonight. We're going to let the guys decide the game. And that's what ended up happening was the players played. The Mavs began to complain because they wanted a call every time someone looked at them. Crawford got upset, called a tee on Don Nelson, and then it became this personal battle with Nelly, so he throws him out. Then he throws Del Harris out. And the story of game two, instead of a 1-1 series, became Joey Crawford and the officials. And I think David Stern did not want that to happen again, particularly with the playoffs starting. What do you do with Crawford? You can't say, I can't let you work a Spurs game. Well, then, if he works a Western Conference game, can't you, in theory, if you believe in conspiracy, say he'll help teams that may hurt the Spurs down the road? I mean, you know, there comes a point where it's just better to remove that person from the equation altogether.
Well, let's hear from the man himself, David Stern, unless you had something else to add there, Amy.
No, we have two cuts here, both from PTI.
How did he take the punishment? Was it delivered face-to-face, and how did he take it?
In fairness, I would say that he doesn't think he did anything wrong, and you know, probably doesn't wish to work in the NBA anymore.
How did
you have taken a real stern stance when people start talking about referees and the criticism directed at referees and what they might be influenced by and that sort of talk that surrounds the playoffs? Did this enter into your thinking at all as we get to sort of the eve of the playoffs now?
No. As a matter of fact, what we need to do is we need to have rules of conduct for players and for officials. There was an egregious violation of game management here by an individual who had been specifically addressed on this very subject by me. And I did what I thought I had
to do.
So that's what David Stern, the commissioner of the NBA, had to say. That was on Pardon the Interruption with Michael Wilbon and Tony Kornheiser. And I guess that's where the commish stands on it.
I respect Crawford for being honest enough to say, I would do it again. But I think that's part of the problem, is that Stern is saying, if you don't realize that you've done a wrong, well, then obviously you can't do this anymore. And I think as much as Crawford believes that when he's the head official, he is the moral authority and no one can question him, I think he has to respect the fact that Stern is the ultimate authority in the NBA, and you can't question him.
Well, Stern is really looking – I think everybody looks bad in this situation. Stern is the one that at the start of this year, at the start of – at the end of last year said, no more players yelling at officials. No more. We're not going to have it. And we saw technical after technical after technical. In the first 2 weeks, people you wouldn't even expect getting technicals. You got, you know, Ray Allen and Michael Redd getting technicals who people have never gotten them before. And all of a sudden, now it's changed back. He's siding with the player again. I mean, of course, he's the MVP, one of your most marketable players, and Crawford is Crawford. You know, he's not really bringing people into the stands. I really think Stern really makes himself look foolish to install that plan at the beginning of the year. Almost looks like he's resending it right now. And I just think he's looking rather foolish.
I don't think this is an issue of him being pro-Duncan. I think this is an issue of Stern being ticked at Crawford. I think this is we've had this conversation before. You decided to go against what we talked about. I'm letting you know who's in charge here.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the case of what happened. But I think when you install a rule like that, you put the power into the refs' hands, let them officiate the game. If you're taking away the power, we're now going to see one of two things happen. Players just start to take over this league once again. Or there will be officials who are now pissed off that Crawford is gone, and they're going to be calling the game on an odd, you know, either tighter or much lighter than it should be.
Which would then show that they have the inability to separate personal from professional, which means that there is a larger problem in the league.
There is a larger problem in the league. We can both agree on that, I think.
Well, it seems that the common thread here is there's a lot of personal stuff going on, a lot of one-on-one, if you will. Crawford versus Duncan, Stern versus Crawford. And, you know, I think David Stern has proven over the past, over the years, that he's a pretty darn good commissioner, and he doesn't want that kind of stuff because it takes away from the game. So, anyway, at this point, we'll just have to say it is what it is, one of the best quotes anybody can give you.
Well, dare I say very quickly?
Go ahead.
Twice in his career, Duncan's been kicked out of a game now. First time, the NBA rescinded it because the official overreacted. The second time, the official basically got fired. So I don't think Duncan's the golden boy of the league because the Spurs don't exactly get as much coverage as, say, LeBron. But I think it is an example of when you are known for being a higher, a better person, I think that you tend to have the law come down on your side when things are uneven.
And dare I say one other thing in response to that, that does possibly say that Duncan does something, whether it's obvious or not, obvious enough to really warrant being kicked out, he does something to bother officials.
Oh, I'm sure every player does. Doesn't every superstar? You don't think Larry Bird didn't complain? You don't think Magic? I think a good official appreciates a guy that can let you know he's ticked without letting the crowd know that he's talking to you about it.
I would agree with that. I just think at some point, being a Spurs fan, you may just a tiny bit, your judgment may be clouded.
A little bit.
He kicked him out for laughing. You cannot convince me that that is okay. Would he preferred that Duncan had yelled and cursed and thrown a towel?
That's why we need to get freaking guests on this show.
Yeah, get someone else to...
unbiased opinion.
Yeah, we could use that once in a while. Anyway, last words for Joey Crawford.
My advice to you, start drinking heavily.
That's all he's got for the NBA playoffs. A can of beer and a TV.
It's good advice all the way around.
Didn't Bill Simmons say something about him on his plane flight to hell?
Simmons greatly
appreciate that.
Very true. Going to take a quick break on Sports Outside the Mainstream. Owen Grohman, Antonio Kruger, Eamon Sweeney. We will be right back, and we have a whole lot of NBA to talk about. We'll spend some time on that, actually a lot of time on that, a lot of time on Major League Baseball, some peripheral stuff that we may or may not get to. We're going to stick to the important things on Sports Outside the Mainstream, KSFS, the state.
5, 4, 3, in the KSFS antenna. Any breed of gerbil. Woolen mittens. A fifth grade science fair project. A waxed floor. The Queen of England. Motor oil. The number 7. Kittens in a box. A handful of belly lint. A VCR remote. A Chiquita banana. A retarded beaver. NyQuil. Puppy farts. A dead man's ass. Tickle me Elmo. Dental floss. 5 marbles. A bucket of apple cores. Speak and spell. Cupcake sprinkles. Dung. At KSFS, we may not have the most power over the airwaves, but now you can listen to our real audio site on the internet. Log on at ksfs.sfsu.edu. KSFS. We're trying.
At the karaoke bar, Greg shows the telltale signs of being wasted. First off, he's in a karaoke bar. On stage, he can't read the lyrics on the monitor. Greg decides to freestyle rap.
It's easy to tell if you've had way too many to drive. But what if you've had just one too many to drive? Never underestimate just a few. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Kaiser Air Incorporated, located at Oakland International Airport, Northfield, takes this opportunity to remind us that over the last 10 years, drinking and driving fatalities are down 40%, while teen drinking driving incidents are down 60%. So to everyone who checks an ID, calls a cab, or tells a friend when to say when, Kaiser Air Incorporated would like to say thank you. By doing things right, you really do make a difference. This important community service announcement has been made possible by Kaiser Air, on the air because they care. That's Kaiser Air Incorporated, located at Oakland International Airport, Northfield. Wishing everyone in the Bay Area a safe 2006 by saying, please don't drink and drive.
America California Bank reminds all of our listeners that dangerously low levels of blood exist at area blood banks. If you are a donor or have considered being one, we need your help now. 4 people will benefit from just 1 pint of blood. Donating blood is one of the greatest gifts you can give and the best way to save lives and feel good about helping others. This important reminder is brought to you by everyone at America California Bank in San Francisco. On the air, because they care about the people in our community. The church.
your favorite characters.
Why don't you get yourself a nice girl?
I get a nice one almost every night, Ma.
Yeah, but get yourself a girl so you could settle down. I settle down
almost every night, but then in the morning I'm free. I love you. I want to be with you.
Why don't you settle down?
Here on Sports Outside the Mainstream. Back on Sports Outside the Mainstream, KSFS The State. Don't forget about that party at the Element Lounge, April 26th. Dollar beers, 1028 Geary. Free with your San Francisco State ID. Meanwhile, here in the studio.
It got pretty ugly off the air, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, no, the war. I mean, the war that Mel Gibson talked about, or William Wallace talked about, I mean, it damn near happened in here.
I was going to go Bruce Bowen on him over here, man.
Bruce Bowen. Give me a break,
Spurs.
You're
going to undercut me when I go up for a shot?
That's San Antonio Spurs reference brought to you by. Anyway, the NBA playoffs are coming up. We've all got predictions. We've all got funny stuff going on. I mean, I think, like I said, the Mavericks are the favorite, but this would be a year where it's not – I wouldn't say it's one of those years where anything goes, anybody could win it. I'd say that's definitely not true, but it's also not a year where it's like the Shaq and Kobe Lakers or anything, where it's like, okay, this is the team that's going to win it. If some miracle happens, they won't. It's kind of a nice, solid in-between where there's three or four teams that could conceivably win the championship. A lot of strange things could happen. I probably went with the fourth team that could win it instead of any of the other three.
Yeah, I would say that. You know, usually we do have that Laker, we have that Shaq-Kobe team where you say, well, once they flip the switch and they realize they can dominate any game they put their mind to, it's over. And I would agree, looking at these matchups, I mean, some of the matchups were even difficult to pick at some point. I didn't know. I was thinking 6-7, maybe flip it around. But, yeah, there's no clear-cut winner right now, maybe except.
Well, depends on where one stands.
Where does one stand? Let's talk about where we all stand. Well, let's do the playoffs picks.
I want to get us all in the mood here.
Light some candles.
Can I get some music there?
No.
What I'm going to present here is the equivalent of mood lighting and alcohol. And this is really more for Eamon than anyone. This picture is here for you. This is to get you in a playoff mood.
Is that Tom Chambers?
I brought you even close. Well, all the Chambers.
If you're going for Eamon, I mean, that's the guy.
Good radio, by the way.
The fans can't see it, but it's what I expect to happen in these playoffs. It's a wonderful picture from Game 5 last year.
That's a foul.
No, that's not a foul.
That's a foul, bro.
His hand is coming across the wrist. I think.
Yeah, that's all over. He's all over his wrist.
His hand
now
has all ball. This is Bowen blocking Nowitzki at the end of Game 5 last year.
A lot of contact there.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Hand's part of the ball, and the hand has all ball.
Wrist isn't. Shoulder's not part of the ball.
It's hitting the mop, too. Pretty tough.
Yeah.
No, that's Dirk's hair, blonde locks flying up into the forearm. You see, you guys have bias. You don't appreciate defense.
Looks like Duncan's giving it pretty rough to Damp there, too, in the block. I think that's a foul, too.
He's just giving back what he gets all the time and never gets called.
Is that Sean Marks over there?
I played. Here's my pickup story of the week. I played ball the other day with an Australian guy. And he was one of the better players I've played pickup with because he was pretty tenacious. He'd be like, actually, if I tried to post, he put an elbow or a hand in my back, and that's pickup. You can do that.
That's a little Aussie rules football basketball.
It was one of those deals where it's like, as it was happening to me, I was like, damn it, get off me. Come on, we're playing pickup here. But then after, I was like, you know, that's the way he should play. I like that he played like that. I couldn't drive on him.
Makes you a better man because of
it. Yeah, no, quick hands. He was good. The other story from that I should mention briefly, there was a kid wearing a DeJuan Wagner Cavaliers jersey.
Ooh.
Yeah, DeJuan Wagner, Cavaliers jersey.
What
I've seen some weird jerseys.
Did he buy that at?
That still does not top someone wearing an A.J. Hinch Oakland Athletics jersey. That would be the all-time
worst
jersey I've ever seen. I will never forget.
Is DeJuan Wagner currently on a MBDL team?
Wagner has a serious
He had a bladder infection.
Was it bladder? Okay, I was going to say colon, bladder. Something gnarly we don't want to talk about. I know he was a mid-first-round pick. He was a stud out of high school.
Yeah.
Still kind of a stud out of Memphis. You know, mid-round.
One of those guys that scored like 100 points in a high school game or something like that.
Poor guy. I mean, I tried not to rip on him too hard, but at some point I just kind of, you know, I had to be like, hey, man, you're not really an NBA fan, are you? You just kind of like basketball jerseys.
Yeah, when you see the Jason Kidd Mavs jersey or something, then you know this guy is either really old school, big fan, or he just found that at, you know, Mervin somewhere.
Unbelievable. Anyway, so I went all the way through. I went from first round straight to the championship. I don't want anybody falling asleep. But
as you should.
But we all did that?
Nope.
Let me get a cheat sheet real quick.
Let's make this as quick and painless as possible. And let's start with the Eastern Conference. least first or whatever. I don't know. Detroit and Orlando match up in the first round. I got that one. Detroit sweep. What do you guys got?
I got Detroit 4-1. They tend to get a little bored and lose a game.
I got Detroit in 5.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I would. You're probably right about that. Got to have a sweep somewhere, though.
And you know what? I hope they win a game just for Dwight Howard because the guy is awesome.
Yeah, he's a beast. Cleveland, Washington. I got Cleveland in 5.
I got Cleveland in 4.
Yeah, there's your sweep.
I don't see it. Yeah. I do predict a big game, once again, fantasy-related, Sean Stephenson. I think he's gonna have to have a big game just to give him a shot at the second half of the first game.
Yeah, I agree. I got Cleveland sweeping. I want to believe that because no one expects Washington to win a game, they might sneak one in, but they just don't have the guns.
Yeah, and it's not like they've got a crowd that's going to will them to a victory or anything. I mean, it is the nation's capital.
Well, no. And they know that they have no shot, so you're kind of like, do I really want to dish out money for playoff tickets?
So those are the ugly ones in the Eastern Conference. I guess probably all of it's going to be fairly ugly, but Toronto, New Jersey, a lot of people saying that New Jersey as the sixth seed really should be the favorite because they've got veterans. They've been there. Toronto's the 3 seed. I did pick Toronto to win it, but in 7 games.
I also picked Toronto. I have the Raptors.
I know where you stand with the Raptors.
The Raptors winning in 6. Chris Bosh should have won a heck of a series.
I like TJ Ford, too.
I expect the Raptors to win in 7. This whole thing about Vince is going to wreak revenge.
Vince is a joke.
Thank you. To me, this is the revenge of the Toronto fan base saying, you tanked on us. We're knocking your butt out in the first round, and they're going to enjoy it. But Toronto is still too young to rid them of New Jersey in five games.
He still gets booed in Toronto. You don't consider Toronto a huge fan base, you know, but they actually are pretty good NBA fans, and he still gets booed up there when he shows up.
This could be one of those series where, like, every home team wins.
The difference between Vince and his cousin Tracy, very different. Very different as how they're perceived, and especially in my mind. And
how much their eyes can open?
Then we'll get to that. Well, there's that. One of them actually looks like a Raptor. McGrady? Right. Does he not? Does McGrady not look like a sleepy Raptor?
Raptors have bad backs.
It fit him well when he was there. Yeah. I'll leave it at that.
Chicago, Miami. That's the best. That's the most intriguing. Now here's where I picked. Okay, my hard pick is Chicago in 5 because in my opinion, if it drags on, Miami will win because they have the veterans. I'm saying simply the Bulls just come out and the Heat are like, man, we're old and lose it quick because if it drags on. Things shift, and I think the Heat win if it drags on. But if the Bulls can get through it quick, they can win it.
I have it dragging on, and I have Chicago in 7, and I have Luol Deng having a big game because that is a huge matchup problem for the Heat.
And you just love the Bulls. We should.
That's your Eastern Conference pick.
Yeah, the Bulls are. And right now, they really blew it for me, too. They could have faced a different team, you know, and they just blew it.
Yeah.
I think you've got something for Kirk Heinrich. I think that might be what's going on.
A little something. Well, what am I supposed to say to that?
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. I was putting it on you, and you came out all right.
All right, very good.
You can say that you wish you had his hairstyle.
I wish. Yeah, let's go with that.
Eamon's got a little praying mantis thing going on the front up
there.
The
Iron Lotus.
That's not bad. The Iron Lotus, nice.
I got the Heat in 7. It'd be really cool if the Bulls won, but the fact that they couldn't win in Jersey to keep the 2 seed makes me wonder how are they going to beat the defending champs, who still have enough to get out of this round.
What did they put up 70, which was just. Egregious.
Let's
push forward.
Let's push forward through the East, and we'll just go to the finals, and then we'll save the NBA finals for the big grand finale. But let's push through the East. Oh, so it looks like we all agree. Or who had Miami? Any of you guys?
No,
I got Miami in 7.
Okay, so you pick Miami. We keep moving on. So Eamon and I agree that it'll be Detroit versus Chicago.
Correct.
And in my opinion, Detroit in 7. I think that'll be a great series if it happens. If Chicago can get through Miami. Rather watch that than Detroit-Miami just because I feel like we've watched Detroit-Miami for like 9 years. And,
That slow pace does kind of,
Really, it could be like 25 years if you go back to Chuck Day. Well, I guess the Pistons were good and the Heat weren't. That's true.
Heat weren't around then.
Yeah, well, they came in like 90, 91. Was Chuck Daly coaching the Nets by then?
No.
He was still with the Pistons
through 92.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, cool.
No, Daly went to the Magic.
He went to the Magic. Okay, cool. Anyway, I feel like we've been watching Heat Pistons for a long time. Let's leave it at that.
No, I
got Detroit in 7 in that one in a good series. And I just think the Pistons, they've got all those veterans. They've got, 6, 7 guys who you know can play and you know can play at the playoffs level until we get to the finals where Chris Webber disappears. But
that's actually a point of emphasis when I'm picking Chicago in 6. I broke down this matchup last week and said they have very comparable teams. They both have comparable players, and they match up, and the matchups are somewhat difficult. Weber doesn't play well in that offense. Billups doesn't like running the offense through Weber. I think that's going to be a problem. Ben Wallace, Ben Gordon, Kirk Heinrich, the depth off that bench, I think is definitely going to overwhelm an aging Pistons team. I look for Billups to have a huge series. I look at once again for Deng to have a huge series. But yeah, I'm going to go Chicago in six for, you know, for my further, you know, 10-minute breakdown. Listen to our podcast from last week.
If Chicago should beat Miami, which I actually hope happens, though I'm not predicting it, it would be great to see them play the Pistons. They won the season series, whatever that's worth, 3-1, just like they beat Miami 3-1. But since I picked the Heat, I'm going with Detroit beating the Heat in seven, probably very physical, close, though not necessarily highly entertaining games.
Right. So that leaves Cleveland-Toronto. We all agree that will be the matchup. And kind of a tough one to pick. I think that'd be interesting. I just can't really see the league. letting Canada beat LeBron. I just can't see that. So I got Cleveland in six.
No, I have it in six, but I have Raptors winning in six.
I hope so, man. I'll be cheering for him. You know
You're
what? I'll be
for
cheering for
Chicago,
Toronto.
Whoa. Toronto, Eastern Conference.
Well, what did I call a long time ago?
No, hey, you're being consistent.
I am not Joey Crawford. I am consistent.
Do you need a lot of paint chips when you were a kid?
Well, when we painted our faces for Braveheart, some of it may have slipped down.
Wow. Which network carries the Eastern Conference Finals this year? Is it TNT
Versus?
Or ESPN?
I want to say Versus, maybe.
Oh, the Versus Network. Getting that 1.3 with that hockey.
What do you got? Cleveland-Toronto.
Cleveland in six.
Yeah.
It's time for LeBron to be in the Eastern Conference Finals. He is the true golden boy of the league. He's the one that gets all the games on ABC.
He brings all the boys to the yard.
And he is a milkshake, I guess. Lest we forget that were the Cavaliers to get in a situation where they could potentially lose a game, LeBron has the option to travel and hit a game winner. So,
well, yeah,
how do they lose?
He's not
going
to go back to high school and
You know, we could do a whole hour on the officiating in last year's playoffs.
The Cavs-Wizards series,
yeah,
especially.
That series, the Spurs-Mavs series, and the finals, so we won't even, you know.
So that's –
I think it's going to come down to low post, obviously, Bosch. It's going to be Bosch-LeBron. They're not facing off against each other, but it's definitely going to be matchup problems for both teams. And right now, I'm looking for, you know, runner-up to Coach of the Year, getting it done.
Well, the Cavs have LeBron and not much else. The Raptors, at least, they do have Bosch, who's a complete stud, who's at least as valuable to his team. Well, because the Cavs suck so bad, that's not true. But if LeBron had anything else around him, Bosch would be as valuable as LeBron to his team, I want to say. But T.J. Ford, I think, is a solid point guard. As you said, he cannot shoot, but that's okay.
Cannot.
He can play point. They got Bargnani, who's been surprisingly good and who's like that Aussie guy I played basketball with the other day. He's a pain in the
there
ass,
you go.
Man. Nobody wants to face that guy. He's got hair, and that's fun, you know. We have a good time with that. But that leaves Detroit and Cleveland for Eamon and myself. And did you end up with that as well?
No.
Oh, he's got Detroit. He's got Chicago.
I got Chicago and the Raptors.
Right.
You and I have Detroit and
Cleveland. I got Detroit in seven there.
I don't think the Cavs can win that series yet. I'm picking them to win in six because that's what I said a month ago was Cleveland in the finals, so I'll stick with it.
Again, I'm really not that much of a conspiracy theory guy, but I just have trouble with the league letting LeBron not win for that long. You know what I mean? And it's not that it's like he's going to go to the free throw line every time. It's at certain moments, they can call a foul. There's a lot of contact when a guy is big and quick as LeBron is moving around out there.
I'm Cleveland in six, but, man, it would take Hughes and Danielle Marshall and all those guys having one hell of a series.
So you have Cleveland beating Detroit?
In six.
Okay. I got Detroit. So I got Detroit in the East. He's got Cleveland in the East.
I got
you
Chicago
got
beating Toronto in five games, I think. Well, I've just said it. The Bulls, I've seen
the
him.
Bulls.
The Bulls, exactly.
See, that
Chicago.
Makes your conference finals pick kind
of
easy when you end up with Bulls Raptors.
Of course, yeah. I mean, that was kind of easy on that part. But, yeah, I just really think this is the way it's going to, you know, come out. I'm no Brian Peacock, but I do what I can.
Didn't Toronto even win that season series, though, 3-1? Am I right
I think it was it 3-1?
And because the Bulls don't have a low post offense, but Toronto certainly does.
But they have a low post defense.
Anyway, guys, we spent a lot of time on the Duncan Crawford. We've got to get the West going. What's up with the West? Golden State, Dallas, that's the 1-8. And I'm going Peacock. Golden State in six.
Oh,
how do you like them apples, huh? Huh?
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
No.
Good for you.
No, come on.
Hey, you know what? Predictions, prognostications. It's all really kind of silly because, as I've said to you guys, both of you at various times, even if you do end up correct on something like this, oh, man, I picked Dallas was going to win it. Well, did you say that Dragan Jop was going to come off the bench with a sudden burst of 8 points in a row with a minute 40 left in game four of the Western semis to push the Mavericks to that victory that helped them win it. I mean,
we
so much can
here
happen.
2 weeks from now, and you're right, you're going to walk with a little extra strut.
Absolutely.
And that's the issue I have with it. I've been the contrarian, you know, most of my adult sports life.
So you're mad that I took it from you?
Well, no, not at all. I would just say that I remember Buster only made a pick from ESPN that the Padres would beat the Cardinals. Like in the first round, and they were swept, and it was an awful game.
That was like 39-2 in that
series. It was awful, and he just picked it just to say, "Oh, if the Padres did win, who was on that?" To pick a team,
I didn't do that though.
Why not?
He believes the Warriors are going to win.
I don't see it happening.
I'm 50-50 on who could win because of the matchup.
He didn't pick the Wiz to win their series.
It's kind of analogous to Broncos. Who was it? Broncos Colts. Remember the regular season where, like, oh, Tatum Bell had huge games, Mike Bell had huge games, Olandis Gary. And then what happened in the playoffs? Colts turned it on, blew them out, they didn't have a chance. I think they're going to flip the switch, realize, you know, Dirk's going to play the entire game, Howard's going to play the entire game, Terry, Devin Harris, they're playing the entire game. They can play either style if they can play a better style of basketball. They can't get as small as the Warriors are, but they can play their style, and they've been doing it longer. And it's more of a cohesion being together. I just think it's going to be easy. I say Mavs in five.
I don't put a ton of stock in all that regular season stuff most of the time. I think a lot of it's hype, and I agree with Hubie Brown that you can never give the context of what teams were like at that moment. This Warrior team is playing well. They're healthy. They've played well since these guys came along. I'm picking the Mavs to still win, but I'm saying it goes seven.
Mm-hmm.
The Warriors are going to give them problems, and the Mavericks are still mentally fragile.
And Avery Johnson versus Don Nelson is something that we can't really underestimate here. I mean, a head coach versus a head coach is not much of a matchup on a basketball court, but there is certainly a mental thing that goes on between a mentee,
you know, a man,
is that really a word?
Or anything?
A mentee?
Whatever
it is.
It's a sea cow.
There's something there. Whether it's going to be of consequence or not on the basketball court in the NBA playoffs, we'll see. But there's something there.
Well, we saw it with Tampa Bay and Oakland. I mean, with Gruden.
I think that was a case of Gruden just knew the team.
Well, he knew exactly the playbook and the plays they were going to call. It's a different team. But he knows, as you said, the strengths and weaknesses of Dirk's game and, you know, everybody on that team because he brought them together.
Longer the series goes, more pressure on Mavs. Longer the series goes, Nelson will start to make crazy matchup alterations. He's very good at that. Mavs can come out, win game one by 30 and pump their chest out, and it doesn't matter. Warriors come back and win game two, pressure's back on Dallas.
Right.
Warriors come out and win game one, and what you've got is now you've lost all four games to these guys. I'm telling you, it's going to be a very entertaining series.
Just great to have the playoff basketball in Oakland. I mean,
it's weird, I would say.
It's weird.
Great.
It's awesome. I think it's
great.
I'll
preface it by saying it's weird. Right now it's a cruel joke that's going on that I'm really not laughing at until I see them actually play on TV. But I would say one thing is, I said this about Cleveland, free throw shooting. Everything is pretty much the same on both teams. Free throw shooting, it's like 83% for Dallas, and it's like 70-something for the Warriors. That may come down to stretch. We've always seen Dallas get to the hole late and make their shots. I think that's what it's going to come down to. That's why I'm saying Mavs in five.
And part of the Warriors' problem is that they don't shoot enough free throws.
They don't get to
the
basket.
We've covered ad nauseum here on this show.
If they make their threes, they tend to win. If they don't, they lose.
True.
Here, they're only trying to do it 4 out of 7, not in a one-game situation.
Sounds like Jim O'Brien basketball.
And during this 17-5, or what did the run?
16-5.
16-5 to end the season. Was that how it ended? Well, they won that last. I think I heard 16-5 before they beat the Blazers.
Okay.
So I want to say 17-5. During that run. I mean, my thoughts on Steven Jackson, you guys heard me go off on him when he came. Yeah, he's done a lot for the team. He's been a big contributor, and whether or not he's a D-bag off the court, he's been a big part of their success. So.
Well, two of those five losses were to the Spurs. In terms of Steven Jackson, I'll just say that I think each team has an X factor.
6 degrees of San Antonio.
Yeah, I know.
Well, he's the only guy that I can think of on their roster that has a ring.
Yeah,
he did. And he got that with the Spurs.
You want to talk about just playoff experience. We're not talking, you know, well, I guess we can count first round, you know, blots by, you know, whatever team Baron Davis was on, the Charlotte. But and we look at maybe Al Harrington, but other than that, this is a pretty, you know, bleak playoff experience
Baron
team.
Baron Davis has won a couple of series with the Hornets. Harrington has been in a few with the Pacers. Steven Jackson has a championship ring. He is their X factor because will guard anyone. He has no fear, and he will take any big shot. If it is close at the end, he has absolutely no problem doing it. He was a key contributor, his shooting and his defense, to the Spurs' 2003 title. he can help the Warriors get out of this round.
Phoenix and LA Lakers, they're going to run it back. They played last year in the, was it the first round or second round last year?
First round.
First round, and then it was the Clips and Suns in the second. So, yeah, Suns and Lakers. I got Suns in six. I think that's another thing we've already spent some time on is that matchup, just that aside from Kobe, the Lakers don't have much. I get the Lakers. It could be a sweep. I think we were all talking last week about can the Lakers even win one playoff game. I think Kobe at the Staples Center, yeah, they'll win one or two, and I said two. So Suns in six.
I got a 10.5-point spread for amusement purposes only, of course, and
right.
I have Suns in five. I think Kobe, as I said last week, he can will him to win one game, but not an entire series against that much firepower.
I'm picking Suns in six only because I really want the Lakers to get them that far just so the Suns don't have a cakewalk, but it's going to be hard for them to win two games.
All right. So that leaves us brings us next to San Antonio and Denver, and honestly, we can't spend too much time on this series.
Please.
I won't. Well, I won't bother with my stuff too much. Just Spurs in six.
Our Spurs quote is out the door. No, yeah. I got Spurs in five.
Spurs in five. The only thing I'll say is in their championship years of 03 and 05, San Antonio actually lost game one of their first round series each time at home.
True.
And last year, they beat Sacramento by about 30. 2 years ago when they got beat in the second round, they swept Memphis in the first round. So, ironically, losing the first game in round one has actually helped them in the past, but I expect them to win this in five.
Houston, Utah, and that could be a pretty interesting series.
That's a bruiser.
That could be a real bruiser. I got Houston in seven.
I got Houston in six. When he was healthy, him and Boozer had
Is he healthy?
Well, he's healthy.
Okay.
Well, I'm saying, yeah, and when him and Boozer were both healthy, you know, at the same time, put on one heck of a show. Yao averaged something in the 30s in that series. Boozer probably averaged, you know, 100 rebounds, but that's going to be a good low post matchup. They're really probably not going to be guarding each other all that much, considering they're both more, him and Okur are more perimeter players. But, yeah, Houston just has, I just like their style. If McGrady stays healthy, of course, with his back, yeah, I got Houston at six. I think Jerry Sloan can probably get that team to win at least two.
I got Houston in seven. Home court will help them in that seventh game. McGrady finally gets over the hump. I think he'll take advantage of that in that seventh game. First team to 90 wins. I mean, that's probably going to be
probably
the
same. Right.
It's going to be a lot of defense rebounding, and the winner is going to be very beaten up. They've got to hope that the Warriors do take the Mavs to seven games.
Funny that this is the least marquee of all matchups, especially in the Western Conference, and yet it's two of the very best coaches in the game, Jeff Van Gundy and Jerry Sloan, and two of the best defensive teams in the league. And also, the Jazz happen to have the point guard, Deron Williams, who is the third leading assist man in the NBA.
Jazz have a great home court. And the winner of this series, you know, they're going to, if the Warriors were to win, like you say, they would be favored to be in the Western Conference Finals.
Well, very nice little segue for you. That leaves me with Houston Golden State, as you said. And in that case, you know, this is, you guys might see where this is heading, but Houston in six.
Yeah, it was kind of like my Chicago-Toronto matchup. If I pick Toronto to win, I think Chicago can walk over them. I have Dallas. I actually have Dallas in seven. I think it's going to be one heck of a matchup because it's definitely two styles of play. It's going to be who can impose their will, and it's going to be the second they go 4-0 run, how many timeouts Jeff Van Gundy will use.
I got Dallas beating Houston in six, but I really hope it goes seven. I just think Houston might run out of gas after that first round series, but I would love to see them extend the Mavs and beat the hell out of them.
Yeah, so that goes next to I thought there was another guy. I don't know what's going on. Phoenix and San Antonio. And, again, I don't want to dwell too much on these series that we don't know if they're even going to happen. But
yeah.
I will say, in that case, I'm going to pick Phoenix in seven just because it makes my whole scheme work. And in my scheme, I couldn't have San Antonio win just because we have Ant on the show. So, I mean, Phoenix in seven over San Antonio.
My whole pick, I'll make an actual pick here, I'll get off the fence, is all dependent on whether that Phoenix series goes seven, goes late or not.
So you're on the fence.
Well,
you said it could
fence.
Go either way.
Well, you just made a pick like that earlier.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. We'll replay the tape.
Chicago-Miami. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that happens. It depends on what happens with the series. But if Suns get out of it, if they sweep, I'll take the Suns. Anything other than that, I'll take the Spurs in six.
Wow. Well, the Suns aren't going to sweep, so I guess you might as well just take that. Ant's about to tell us anyway. Go ahead, Ant.
Spurs in six.
Yeah.
They rarely clinch series on their home court. They actually normally clinch on the other guy's home court, so I could see them winning it in five like 2 years ago. But the Suns are a little bit better than 2 years ago, so I'll say Spurs in six.
This leads me at least, to – I think we're all in different stuff now. You guys said Houston – okay, so Houston and Phoenix is where I end up. And, you know, I'm just going with it, man. Houston in seven. I haven't, you know, as far as the actual basketball analysis, Didn't look into it too much about how Houston matches up with Phoenix. I know Houston's a good half-court defensive team. I'm not sure how well they slow down the break, but Houston in 7 over Phoenix, Western Conference Finals.
I have Dallas Spurs, and I'm going Dallas in 6 games. I just think that's going to be a lot of firepower, and I don't think Spurs are going to be able to handle it because they can play either style of basketball. Not as well as the Spurs can play defense, but I do think they have just a little bit more than the Spurs have.
San Antonio is going to beat Dallas in 7 games. They're going to win in, what is it, American Airlines Arena or whatever the hell it is in Dallas. Ginobili, I think, is actually going to be the MVP of the playoffs. I think he had a very tough season last year in the playoffs. Sacramento series, a big turnover that lost game 3. And, of course, the foul on Nowitzki at the end of game 7. I think this is where you see the guy that was almost the MVP of the finals 2 years ago carry San Antonio to the Western Conference and ultimately the NBA title.
And finally, that leaves us NBA finals. I think we're all in different places at this point. But I've got Houston and Detroit. And, you know, looking at how I have this whole – looking at how I have this whole path, that would – I mean, Detroit would have to be favored after Houston having 2 7-game series and all that kind of stuff. But I did pick Houston over Detroit 4-2. Sometimes you just kind of get a feeling, you know what I mean? I kind of got this feeling like, hey, maybe Houston would be the big surprise of the playoffs. It happens.
Hey,
it happens in baseball more than basketball.
Rod Brooks would love hearing you say that.
That's true. I hadn't thought of that, actually. That was not influencing my pick whatsoever. But, so I got Houston winning the whole thing, and, of course, that means T-Mac would be my MVP of the playoffs.
Well, Rod Brooks maybe like Tyrus Thomas from Chicago winning or from LSU?
What do you got?
It's a KNBR reference. Come on, people. Yeah, no, I got Dallas facing off against Chicago, and I have Dallas in 6. Once again, more firepower. Not really a huge star in for Chicago, yet enough of small stars and enough depth to get through the East. When you're facing off against Dirk, when you're facing off against Terry, Harris, and Howard, I just think it's going to be too much for them to handle. And plus, they play probably better defense than Chicago as well. So I'm taking Mavs in 6.
Spurs against the Cavs in the finals. Spurs win in 5. It's always tough.
When 5?
Yep, 5.
Cleveland.
Think about it, dude. Cleveland, San Antonio, come on. That could be 5 or 4.
Yeah, it's the only thing that's hard is that you got to play 3 straight games on the road, so it's hard to win all 3. Spurs would win in 5. It would be Pop up against his former protege, the coach of the Cavs, Mike Brown, used to be on his staff. And Danny Ainge, former Spurs player, and in the front office is the GM of the Cavs. But they would not be able to deal with San Antonio at that point.
Who's your finals MVP in that one? LeBron in the losing effort or no?
No, actually, it probably would be Duncan again. But I still think of the entire playoffs, I think that Ginobili will end up being the most valuable player because I can see him being that focused because he is that good. Whereas I think Chris Bosh is going to be the rising star of the playoffs. The guy who finally fans will know who he is, where he plays, and what he's about.
And we're not talking about a vote of writers, right? I mean, we're talking about what we see and how we analyze it as basketball experts and geniuses.
Yeah.
Well, we see who is the guy who really carried his team. And you're saying Ginobili, I'm saying T-Mac.
Well, I'll say Ginobili from the West. I think LeBron will be from the East because he would have to be to get Cleveland there.
True.
I'm kind of a dark horse pick, but I'll make it official. I'm picking Ben Gordon to do that. I think he's going to get a lot more playing time, and I think he's just going to show everybody that he, Paul Pierce, are one of the, and Kobe Bryant, one of the best fourth quarter scorers in the league.
This is true.
Well, to sum up my playoff picks, basically, we'll know whether I'm going to be on or not by the end of the first round because my whole thing is that Golden State throws a monkey wrench into the entire system, and that allows Houston, gives them the opening. If Dallas wins that, that changes everything. And
Houston could still beat Dallas.
They could beat Dallas, but I doubt that would happen. I would pick Dallas in that case, and so that's...
You heard it here first. The Mavs are mentally soft.
Well, I think we heard it here first like 5 weeks ago.
It may be the first week here.
Trust.
Anyway, we can still talk about awards. We may have to flip that over to next week's show because we do have a lot of stuff to cover, but nonetheless, we'll figure something out when we come back on Sports Outside the Mainstream, KSFS, the state.
The One Campaign is a new effort to rally Americans to fight the emergency of global AIDS and extreme poverty. Each one of us can make a difference.